something else. But I was in the middle of preparing it and I didn't finish, so we'll have to wait till next time. So last time we pointed to we tried to discuss what was the difference between the approach of the Nefesh HaChaim and Tanya with respect to Tzimtzum, and more broadly speaking, with respect to the relationship to the world. So let us review. Both the Nefesh HaChaim and Sefer Tanya seem to say the same thing, that we could look at the universe from two perspectives, from God's perspective and from our perspective. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, nothing really truly exists. The Lashon of the Tanya was that everything else would be batel to Metzias Hashem. He compared it to rays of light inside the sun. And we saw the Nefesh HaChaim said the same similar point, that it's like ayin, the efes, the tohu, mamish. Except for the Ratzon Hashem that continues to allow the world to exist. Then we said, okay, so they're saying the same thing, but are they really saying the same thing? So we saw that with respect to Tzimtzum, the Baal HaTanya, and that's actually going to read inside this time because we didn't get to read it inside last time, argues that Tzimtzum is an illusion. And the Nefesh HaChaim, or at least the Gra, some understood statements that he said as implying that Tzimtzum is mamish. It's literal. In other words, in order to allow for the universe to exist, in order to allow for something to exist, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to literally be Mitzamtzim himself, to create, as it were, an empty space, which allowed for other things to exist. And the logic would be very simple. As long as, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this, so there's nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing at all besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Tzimtzum should be understood in a more literal way. That's the way they understood the Gra. And we said no, that we read from the Nefesh Eliyahu that that's an incorrect understanding of the Gra. Rav Dessler also writes it's an incorrect understanding of the Gra. And the Gra agrees fundamentally that Tzimtzum is lav kipshuto. It's not literally. If so, so how do we explain those statements in the Gra? So we saw again the Nefesh Eliyahu explain that what the Gra meant was from our perspective, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzamtzim himself, literally. Because from our perspective, we exist. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't literally Mitzamtzim himself, how could we exist? How could we be free? And therefore, since we are free, then it must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu was literally Mitzamtzim himself. So what we're going to do today, but that's only our perspective. That's not the truth. The truth of the matter is that Tzimtzum Kipshuto is impossible, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu only looks like Tzimtzum, but it's not actual Tzimtzum. So that's what we saw last time. The truth is, and I think last time we mentioned as well, that this might reflect one of the major differences between Tanya and Nefesh HaChaim. The truth is, you see it, I think, in at least three places. One is what we described with respect to whether we exist or not. The Tanya kept on saying we don't exist. Nefesh HaChaim sounds like we do. And again, obviously, everybody says we exist, but do we truly exist? The difference is that the Nefesh HaChaim presents it from our perspective. Tanya, as it were, presents it from Hashem's perspective. The other nafkamina is with respect to Tzimtzum. Nefesh HaChaim sounds like there is Tzimtzum. Baal HaTanya says there isn't. Again, the difference is our perspective versus God's perspective. And there's a third one, which we didn't get into, but the distinction between Soviv Kol Alman and Mamali Kol Alman, we learned that together, and that it's also the same difference. So now what we're going to do is look at, and how do we explain all three differences? All three differences reflect the same point, which is that the perspective of the Nefesh HaChaim is that we can't any way relate to this reality, our non-existence. We can't view the world from God's perspective. That's impossible for us. We who exist within the world can only look at the world as we perceive it. And on the other hand, the Baal HaTanya says that even though that's true, we should strive to get above our own existence and to the extent that we can, see the world as it really is. See the world as it is. And therefore, the Baal HaTanya says that a person should engage in contemplation and almost induce a experience whereby they don't perceive their own existence. They see nothing but Elokus, nothing but God. Like we said before, that instead of looking up and seeing the ceiling, you see nothing but Dvar Hashem. And what are those differences? The difference is, should we try to do this, or should we sort of give up and say that's beyond us? So let's take a look at two passages where I think these ideas are reflected. First one from Nefesh HaChaim, then from Tanya, and then we'll try to talk about it halach l'maisa, sort of what does that mean for Avodas Hashem. So start with Nefesh HaChaim. This is from Shar Gimel, Parag Vav. And this is really the central theme in Shar Gimel. Vine kol yisodei Torah kdosha, b'chol hazharos ha-mitzos kulam, aseh v'lo saseh, kulam hochen al pizos ha-bechina. So all the mitzvahs of the Torah reflect this perspective, meaning to say our perspective, not Hashem be'atzmuso, but Hashem as we perceive him. Shemitzad ha-sagasenu, shevada yesh chilok v'shinoi mekomos, sheben mekomos ha-torim mutarim, v'gam chayavim anachnu ledaber o laharher b'divrei Torah. So here he's critiquing, I don't think he's critiquing the Baal HaTanya, he's critiquing certain perspectives that might have existed in early Hasidus, which almost denied the need for these types of halachic chilukim. In other words, if you really believe Einod Movado, if you really believe Leis Asar Panui Mine, as the Zohar puts it, there's nothing besides him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is equally manifest inside the bathroom as it is in the Beis Medrash. So why should it be Asar to be Maharher B'divrei Torah in the bathroom? And likewise, why should there be Zmani Tefillah? And so on and so forth. And he's saying, okay, it's true that the reality is Einod Milvado and Leis Asar Panui Mine, and there is no difference, but halacha exists from our perspective in the world. And from our perspective, there are differences between Kodesh and Chol, between the bathroom and the Beis Medrash. And the halacha reflects that reality. It reflects our perspective. And from our, and therefore, the halacha prohibits even hear her divrei Torah in the bathroom. V'chein kol inyanei v'sidrei chiyuv hanhagosenu shenitztavinu mepiv v'tar kadoshu vilti zos habachina shemitzidenu ein makom l'Torah mitzvos klal. Without that reality, then there's no place for Torah and mitzvos at all. Meaning to say, if we were trying to, as it were, perceive reality as it is from God's perspective, if we were to try to understand and relate to the world from that absolute truth, then there would be no place for Torah mitzvos at all. V'avshe be'emes shemitzido yisporah hamasig atzmuso hu malei kol malesa kol b'ashvah gemura, even though the reality is, even though from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, he fills everything with absolute equality. Leis asar panui mine. There is no difference between the bathroom and the Beis Medrash. Belo shem chatzitza, belo shem chiluk v'shinoi mekomos klal. Rak hakol achdos pashut kekodem abriya mamesh. Just as there was no divisions prior to creation, there's no divisions even after creation. All the chilukim that we perceive and that the halacha recognizes are not true from his perspective. Aval ein anachnu yucholim v'gam lo hurshenu likanes klal lesbonein bina b'ze ha'inyan hanora leida ulahasig eich adon yachid baruch hu malei kol v'chol mekomos b'achtos pashut v'shinui gamor. He says there's two objections. Number one is ein anachnu yucholim. We cannot perceive the world from God's perspective. We exist within the world, within this created reality, and so we're limited by our perception. And in our perception, there are these distinctions. That's number one. Number two is we're not permitted. Meaning to say, the Mishnah and Chagiga gives us very clear guidelines. what are you allowed to think about and what are you not allowed to think about? And you're not allowed to think about malifnim, for example. What was God like prior to creation? We can't and we may not. And so, yes, it's true. Really nothing changed after creation. Ani Hashem lo shiniti. And just like there was nothing besides God prior to creation, there is nothing besides God subsequent to creation, in which case there is nothing besides God. That's not something we could understand, nor are we permitted to even imagine. Chalila v'chalila. U'kemosha kasav ha-rokeach v'shars kedushas ha-yachid. Zeh l'shono ha-kedoshas. He's quoting from the Rokeach, who's one of the Rishonim. B'mufla mimcha al-tachkor v'chulei. That is it's a Gemara in Chagiga, I think Daf Yud Gimel. It's actually a quote from Ben Sira. Ben Sira said that b'mufla mimcha, that which is beyond you, al-tachkor, don't investigate. Zeh shakasav reish b'raisa to say for Yitzira. Hashav ha-yotzer, so now he's going to quote a interpretation from Sefer Yetzira, the Rokeach, as to what that means. Hashav ha-yotzer al-mechono, hu ha-yotzer kol v'chulei, u'b'rais acheres, v'mratz livcha, shuv l'makom, shalakach ne'amar, v'achayos ratzo v'ashov. So, it's a pasuk in Yechezkel. The pasuk says that the chayos, or types of angels, were ratzo v'ashov. They went forward and backwards. They got closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then they receded. What does that mean? So that's the Sefer Yetzira quotes this, and now the Rokeach is explaining. Perish, k'shetachshov b'libcha al borei olam, mahu ve'ech chaniyaso b'chol makom u'masav, blom picholad miladaber. When you start thinking about God, how he actually is, not as we perceive him, but you try to imagine him as he is, so shut your mouth. Retract, retreat. If you go forward, ratso, your mind goes ahead, you think you have some Havana, show, return back to a place of stability, a place where you could understand, right? Blom picha miladaber, velibcha milaharher. Don't open your mouth, stop thinking. Haser machshava milibcha. Vimratz libcha milimachshava zos. But let's say your mind, your heart, runs to that place, chusha umaher, quickly, va'al teharher. Don't think about it. Come back to reality. Come back to something you could understand. V'shuv liyichud mekomo shel olam, avodaso uliyiraso. And return to the place of avoda, of avoda, of yira, of our world, of our reality. V'aldavar zeh nechras bris shel olasho be'elokuso, She'in kol ha-chachamim yicholim leida. Ad kan l'shono, that's the end of the Rokeach, v'ayin sham ba'orach. So, this is the point. This is the attitude of halachic man. We're going to see it's halachic man in a moment, but now we haven't seen halachic man yet. Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim, the approach is that, yes, I agree with the Baal HaTanya that all that he said about with respect to God and his essence, there should be no place for our existence. And everything is equal, Bahashvaya Gemura, and all of that. But we can't understand that. We shouldn't try to think about that. How we should live in our perspective, which is reflected in the halacha, and that's the approach. And this is what we said last time. Okay, so that's Nefesh HaChaim. Now, what about Tanya? So the truth is, all of what we've been learning in Tanya is against this attitude, because the whole book was basically about understanding this reality and thinking about this reality that we don't really exist, even as we somehow exist. That was the whole thing. That was the purpose of the book, to understand Yichud Ilah and Yichud Tasa, Shaman, Baruch Shem, and so on and so forth. With respect to Tzimtzum, so it's the same thing. Let's take a look. Here we're going to see the Baal HaTanya critiquing, I don't think he had the Gra in mind, but critiquing those who understand Tzimtzum Kepshuto and telling us why it's wrong. V'hinei, mikan yesh lavin, shigigas, so this is in Perek Zayin, at Sha'am Yichud Emunah, it's not at the beginning, it's in the middle. Mikan yesh lavin, shigigas miktas chachamim, Be'enehem, Hashem yichaper ba'adam. They think they're smart. God should atone for them. Sheshagu v'tohu b'yunim b'kisvei ha'arizal. They made a mistake when examining the writings of the Arizal. And the truth is, if you look at the writings of the Arizal on Tzimtzum, it does really sound this way. And so they understood this more literally. Now, all of Kabbalah really is metaphorical. And if you understand not just this passage in Sefer Kabbalah literally, but many literally, that's heretical. And the same thing he's going to say is true over here. You understand these passages in the Ari that talk about Tzimtzum literally, then that is heretical. Vivinu inyan ha-tzimtzum ha-muskar sham kepshuto. They understood the Arizal's concept of Tzimtzum, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzim himself to allow for the creation of the world in a literal way, in a simple way. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu silek atzmo mahuso chas v'shalom me'olam hazeh. Rak shemashkiach melamala v'ashkacha pratis al kol yitzurim kulam. Asher b'shamayim nimal v'al haaretz mitachas. Of course, even these heretics believe in Hashkacha Pratis, but it's God being Mashkiach from above. But in a sense, he removed himself to allow for their existence. V'hinei milvad she'ef shaklal omar inyan ha-tzimtzum kipshuto, shehu mimikri aguf al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hanivdal behem ribe rivavos havdalos ad ein kates, af gam zos lo bedas yidaberu, me'achar she'em aminim. Let's one thing at a time. So the first thing he says is that to do this, to believe this, is to introduce corporeality in God. And this is really the point that we saw right at the very second shir from Hilchos Yesodi HaTorah. The Rambam told us that if God were to have a body, so then there would be where his body exists and where it doesn't exist, which only makes sense if he's physical, if there's some physical element or dimension towards him. So if you understand Tzimtzum Kipshuto, then you're basically accepting corporeality, which is the first problem with what they say. Second of all, they believe, Shachadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Yitzurim Shebolam Hazeh Shafel Mashkiach Aleim, Valkein En Yidiyaso Osam Mosifa Boriboy V'chidosh Mipnei Sheyodea Kol B'Yidiyas Atzmo. Here again, he's referring to the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the way God knows things is different than the way we know things. The way we know things is by observation, by studying, right? I learn new things. I could discover new things. Somebody could tell me new things. So it's by examining that which is outside of us. And therefore, the increased knowledge is change. There's me and my knowledge. As my knowledge grows, hopefully I'm learning more things, so then I know more things. I've changed, right? It's like a memory on a computer. If that were true, so that can't possibly be the way God knows things, because that would introduce change with respect to God. So God does not know things by that which is outside of him. Rather, it all stems from Yedias Atzmo. Hareka v'yachol mahuso v'atzmuso v'daito ha'kol echad. His mahus, his atzmos, and his das are all one. Something very similar to what the Rambam writes as well. V'zeshkas v'tikunim, d'les asar panui minei, lo b'ilayin, v'lo b'tasayin. There's nothing besides him. There's no place void of him. Not in the upper realms, not in the lower realms. Uviram, Parshas Pinchas, Ihu tafis bekula, the less man de tafis be. Hashem is tofes in everything, and there's nothing that's tofes him. Ihu sovet kol almin, chule. The less man de nafik mershuse, lebar, ihu. Okay.
Excuse me, the Rosh Tevos Baram, that stand, what's right before Parshas Pinchas? What is that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Raya Mehemna, it's a chelak and a zohar.
Okay, thank you.
Fine. So let's stop for a second. This is all, let's finish the quote. Levar mi'ihu memale kol almin. These are tough Rashi tefo. So mem mem chaf ayin is memale kol almin. God fills all worlds. Ihu mekasher miyached zina lezenei ila v'tasa v'les korva v'arba yisodin ela v'kutsha v'richu kat'u bein nayhu. Okay, so, and I was going to explain this passage in the Zohar, which is essentially explaining his idea, which is that Tzimtzum is not Kepshuto. There's no place devoid of him and the like. And he continues along these lines. As we said before, why is it that, let's say, in some of the Gra, it sounds against this? The answer is because while this might be true in reality, it is now not our perception of things. Now, I'd like to take a step back and go back to something we discussed a number of weeks ago, halachic man, and try to understand how to deal with this idea, maybe to present more the Litvisha perspective, the perspective of Nefesh HaChayim, which we already saw at the beginning. So when we talked about halachic man last time, we talked about how, first of all, much of halachic man really presents, I think, a lot of the Kabbalistic ideas of Nefesh HaChayim in a more philosophical language. And in the halachic man, he compares three types of people. There is the halachic man, there's cognitive man, the scientific perspective, and there is homo religiosus, ish hadas, the religious man. Cognitive man, they all three of them differ in terms of how they relate to the physical world. So cognitive man, the scientist, sees nothing but the physical world. He denies there's any reality outside of that which he can examine, that which could be scientifically detected and sensed and the like. Obviously, both halachic man and religious man who believe that there's a transcendent realm reject that. Okay, so what's the difference between halachic man and homo religiosus? What differs is their direction. Homo religiosus and halachic man both agree that there's two realms, but homo religiosus tries to escape this realm, and he seeks the transcendent. That's where he discovers God in the transcendent. He tries to, though he can't fully, because he's still a physical being, but he tries to the extent possible to transcend the physical limitations that he has and engage in the transcendent realm. And that's the idea that we saw over here and earlier in Tanya, which is that, yes, we're limited in what we could understand, but let's push the limits. Let's see how much of HaKadosh Baruch Hu we can understand. And then we have a halachic man, and halachic man is not interested in the transcendent realm. But why? Both halachic man and homo religiosus share the same thing. They seek closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the answer is, they find it in different places. The mashal we gave was, how do you understand, achash alti meis Hashem el savakei shivti beis Hashem kol yimei chayai? Is beis Hashem olam haba? Is beis Hashem leaving this world? Or is beis Hashem the beis medrash? So halachic man tries to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our world. How? Through Torah, first and foremost. Why? Torah is a reflection of Ratzon Hashem. So the greatest way in which we could understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through his Ratzon. Right? That's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Staka Bo Reisu Vari Alma, that he and his Torah are one, Kutubrichu Vel Reisu Chadhu. That is the way in which he connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, instead of trying to escape, he tries to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. We saw the Nefesh HaChayim explained. That's why Negaim Ve'olos are at a higher level than Tehillim. In what sense? Because Tehillim, we try to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this emotional connection, and Negaim Ve'olos is through Ritzono. And moreover, so now we want to basically explain two things. So why does halachic man not seek the transcendent? Number one, and these are the two ideas in Nefesh HaChayim. One is really Shar Gimel, and one is Shar Dalet in Nefesh HaChayim. In Shar Gimel, halachic man doesn't seek the transcendent because he can't understand it anyway. And in Shaar Dalet, he says, halachic man connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Torah. Okay. So now I want to consider the following. So does halachic man study Kabbalah? Right? We're going to take for granted Kabbalah is true, but is it something that we should learn? So halachic man, does he study Kabbalah? After all, we just said before, he doesn't seek to escape. He doesn't flee from this world for the transcendent. So why doesn't he get it all from the Torah? That's the question.
Is this in the halachic man? I maybe read this when I was much younger. I didn't understand it that well. Is he describing different types of people?
These are three typologies. They're not real people.
Right.
They are theoretical people.
But are
and
any
real
of them
people are combinations of both. So right. Certainly true. He points it out, I think, in the first footnote. So we're not talking about real people. But still,
are any of them, according to him, one that we should be striving for?
Well, clearly from the book of Halachic Man, and it's even more refined in Vikashta Misham, he thinks he is defending Halachic Man. In other words, showing you his greatness. Maybe in other books he shows you the beauty in other things, but the purpose of Halachic Man is to help you see the beauty and learn and understand the Avodas Hashem of Halachic Man. So my question is, if Halachic Man doesn't seek to escape reality, so does he learn Kabbalah? And it's a funny question. I mean, in Halachic Man, he refers to in one place, the Gra as an example of Halachic Man. The Gra certainly learned a lot of Kabbalah. Nefesh HaChaim, full of Kabbalah. Halachic Man has many, many Kabbalistic references. In fact, the whole concept of Halachic Man, of why we see God in this world and in Torah, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzem himself into Torah and in this world. In other words, that's where we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzimtzum isn't like a depressing thing. It's what allows us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to perceive and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, but at the same time, if we don't seek to escape, if we don't seek to understand the transcendent, then why do we study Kabbalah? Or maybe there is no place for Kabbalah. So the answer is, again, I don't know if every halachic man is studying Kabbalah, but the answer is that, A, yes, there is a place for Kabbalah, as we've seen, not as a means of escaping reality, but understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we see it. In other words, that's what this whole passage in Nefesh HaChaim was. The whole idea of Nefesh HaChaim is, yes, we have to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have to recognize that we can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully. Halachic man studies Kabbalah, but he studies Kabbalah according to the halacha. And the halacha places restriction on how we're supposed to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The Mishnah in Chagiga says you can't ask certain questions like Ma'alef Nim, like we saw in the Gemara in Chagiga. It says, B'mufla mimcha al tidrosh. So why do you study? So A, yes, we study Kabbalah. We'll talk about why in a second. But B, like everything, Kabbalah is guided and defined and prescribed by halacha. Halacha gives us the dinim of Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Merkava, what we could think about and what we can't. And we accept that we can't understand everything. That's A. But still, why do we study Kabbalah? Well, I don't know. Why would you study science? Because science actually also gives you an insight into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Science, like the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Yesod HaTorah, could bring a person to Avan Yira if studied correctly. We study Kabbalah because it's a mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem. There's a mitzvah of the halach, the vidrachav, which says that we should follow in Hashem's ways, which demands that we understand Hashem's ways to the extent that we can. So, yes, there's a place. Halachic man and homo religiosus both study Kabbalah. But like we see over here, like we've seen in these two paragraphs, comparing Rav Chaim and the Baal Tanya, their approach to the esoteric is different. They both accept that there is God as he is and there's God as we can relate. The question is, do we try to escape our limitations and understand that which is true to the extent possible? Or do we say no? Like the Nefesh HaChaim says, "V'mratz libcha l'machshav azos, chusha umaher v'al teharher, v'shuv liyichud makomo shel olam, v'la avodaso liraso." And that's the difference.
I mean, isn't escaping our limitations klapei Hashem a contradiction in terms? I mean,
yes, yeah. But should we still seek that? In other words, should we the Baal HaTanya also kept on writing, and we can't understand that, and yet he kept on writing about it and saying we should try. So yes, you have to be aware of your limitations. For sure. Even he's not saying you could really understand this. But our goal should be to transcend those limitations. So we will never fully succeed. Like we talked about last time, there's no chance you'll fully succeed. But still, we should try our best. And part of trying our best is to understand and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without these limitations, even if we know we can't succeed. That's our goal. When you start thinking these thoughts, so you should think them. And what the Nefesh HaChaim is saying, when you start thinking these thoughts, return to a place of safety.
It seems like part of trying to understand it is, at first, or at some point, understanding what you can't understand.
Yes. And again, I think that basic point, everybody would agree. I think I'm sort of making it a little more dramatic than it probably is. The difference is more subtle. But at its heart, I think that is the fundamental difference. And so it's not just the difference, it's a very different approach to Avodas Hashem in general, and the like. Okay.
Thank you.
Shkaya.
Thank you for making that all clear.
Are we continuing on the sheet next week?
No, I think... I haven't...